And welcome back, Planet Earth. You're listening to Polarize with Alex Knight and Tyler Street, the show where we discuss divisive, polarizing topics about the human condition, politics, and just those general thoughts that keep us awake at night when the power goes out. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
Yes, you were up quite late last night, weren't you?
I was indeed.
And you're a little bit tired, but you've had your coffee on IV.
I am fully caffeinated, ready to go.
Yes, and I'm also quite caffeinated. So today we're going to be discussing something that I've been wanting to talk about for a little while now, and we've got a great title for you today. I love this one, and it's taken from a work by Dr. Lawrence Britt, and it's called "The 14 Defining Characteristics of Fascism." And that's what we're talking about today. Now, I'm going to start things off a little bit by reading through the list, and I'll get through each one, and we'll go through it bit by bit and see what we have to say. So, this is what Dr. Lawrence Britt has to say about fascism. Dr. Lawrence Britt has examined the fascist regimes of Hitler, Mussolini, Franco, Suharto, and several Latin American regimes. Britt found that 14 defining characteristics common among each. Number one. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Fascist regimes tend to make constant use of patriotic mottos, slogans, symbols, songs, and other paraphernalia. Flags are seen everywhere, as are flag symbols on clothing in public displays. Does this remind you of anything, Alex?
I don't know, but why don't you tell me?
Well, you ever notice that in times of war, that's when the patriotism in, like, say, the United States, for an example, lack of a better example, Canada's not really overly patriotic in general on the best of times. But I've noticed that in the United States that support our troops gets thrown along with things. Or you hate the troops, or do you like the troops? No, you're supposed to love the troops. You can't just like the troops. So French fries aren't good enough. We need freedom fries, you know? Don't dare speak any ill about the American flag because that's a patriotic symbol and things of that nature. Or even so much here in Canada, when you try to talk about our depressing history, people are like, no, Canada's great. Canada's never done anything bad before. Not to say that Canada is a fascist regime, but we can have some things in common with it. And that's just a rather fascinating thing that, you know, the side that's winning tends to think itself as the most patriotic. But, you know, that doesn't really necessarily mean you're in the right. You can think you're doing right and still be very, very ass backwards wrong. Number two, disdain for the recognition of human rights. Because of fear of enemies and the need for security, the people in fascist regimes are persuaded that the human rights can be ignored in certain cases because of need. The people tend to look the other way or even approve of torture, summary executions, assassinations, long incarcerations of prisoners. Now, in the Boston bombings, how many people were calling for that bomber's rights to be taken away and him just be thrown directly into the gas chamber? You know, do not pass go, do not collect $200, forget your Miranda rights. We should throw his wife in jail for wearing a hijab. I believe that was actually Ann Coulter who even said that. His wife should be thrown in jail for wearing a hijab. Wow.
I mean, clearly not everybody has that kind of feeling, but there are plenty of people that are just willing to throw people's rights away.
Yeah, that's not to say that every person who holds these beliefs are in a fascist regime, but you can still have those fascist qualities. You can still have fascist qualities in any group of people.
And right.
And this is something we do see a lot in the political world today. Like, for instance, here in Canada, as well, we were getting very, very upset about niqabs. And they, you know, or like when Donald Trump says he wants to ban Muslims from entering America and, you know, deport Muslims and things like that. Human rights are things that we can take away when it suits us. Or human rights are for people, but only our kind of people. This mentality happens quite common in a lot of countries. Identification of enemies and scapegoats as the unifying cause. The people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate perceived common threat or foe, whether it be racial, ethnic, or religious minorities, liberals, communists, socialists, terrorists, and I'm just going to throw this in there, Muslims. It's a lot more common than you think. Now, how many cultures can get united of their hatred of Muslims. I think we've talked about this in the past. The only time you can get atheists and Christians and Jews to work together is when they're all trashing Islam. That's one thing they can all agree on. They all hate the Muslims. And there it is, right there. It's funny how all our differences can just be thrown away the second we all have a common enemy that we can just join together and hate. You know, like the Japanese people in the 1940s or...
Right.
Even, well, Irish people.
I think history tends to repeat itself often because there was an article that I was reading recently that, you know, just 100 years ago, which seems like a long time, but really isn't in our history. And
2 50-year-old dudes standing next to each other.
So just 100 years ago, people in America were afraid of Catholic people, and they did not want Catholic people coming to the U.S. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Yes. That is what a lot of people believe today. And obviously, I think it's dangerous when we have people that are, you know, entering the political space like Donald Trump, who wants to become president. And he has this view that we should basically ban Muslims from, you know, coming into the country, which is, it's such a dangerous mindset.
Not to mention the fact that Donald Trump is like half man, half pumpkin.
Right.
Have you seen his head, man? It looks like it's getting bigger and bigger. Maybe it's the camera angles. Maybe it's a wide angle lens. I'm not sure. But
Let's not resort to personal
I will absolutely resort to personal attacks about Donald Trump's character because the guy is a piece of shit.
Fine. Okay.
I mean, there's certain limits.
I agree. I mean, I think I don't agree with any of his views. I honestly think the more I see him talking public lately, I really feel like he's perhaps going senile.
Generally speaking, I'd say that you should attack a person's views and their beliefs and, you know, how ignorant and stupid their statements are. But I feel like he already has a wealth of that, too, that I don't think I'm going to lose any credibility by attacking his looks.
Honestly, the guy is
a piece of crap.
Yeah, well...
Three of his companies went bankrupt, for God's sakes.
The thing is,
bankrupt the United States, what's going to do?
I don't agree with the fact that we should just bar Muslim people from immigrating into the country. And I'm not just talking about Canada, but just in general, you know, in the U.S. too. That's what I believe. But I'm not saying that we shouldn't have very in-depth, thorough background checks, because clearly, you know, you just look at what happened recently with the shooting in California, you know, and I was reading, I think it was an article in the New York Times, how the woman that was involved in that shooting, they were saying that they missed something in the background check when she came to the country. So, you know, the system isn't perfect. It's clearly very flawed, and there's more that can be done to ensure that people are who they say they are, that they don't have any ties to any radical groups or not. And obviously, it's never going to be 100%. But anything more that they can do, I think, to screen people is a good thing. I just think that in general, when you're coming to this country, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, you're from Syria or whatever. I just think good, thorough background checks are an absolute must across the board. I don't want to single out any specific ethnic group. So anything more that we can do there, I think, would be better to keep people safe here.
Oh, absolutely. And Canada of the past made very strict regulations to keep Hindu people out once upon a time and Japanese people. You can go on through every single demographic you could possibly think of. Canada tried to keep people out whilst at the same time taking other people in who needed help.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of Irish and Christian people were let into Canada in the past when East Indian people were denied. And there's that famous case where 300 people inside of a ship were kept on the mainland, just out in the water, just to basically just rot on there. Well, Canada said, well, we don't want them.
So I derailed you a bit. So where are we on the list?
Well, we are
the list.
Identification of enemies and scapegoats. And it's tribalism, I think, too. Very much like that. It's find the enemy. It doesn't matter who the enemy is. We just need an enemy that we can all unite and rally against. But let's move on to the next thing there. We've talked about that quite a bit. Supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding and domestic agenda is neglected. Soldiers and military service are glamorized. Hey, Alex, did you know that Uncle Sam wants you?
I was not aware of that, no.
Well, he does. He certainly does. And yeah, the Canadian military wants you too, just not as bad. That is something we see in almost every country in the entire world, the glamorization of the military.
I agree, and it's obviously less so in Canada than the United States. I mean, our military budget pales in comparison to what the United States spends on their military, but I always felt that, I'm not saying it's not necessary, but I really do believe that we should be diverting funds from the military into things that matter more, like stuff that doesn't actually destroy, maybe feeding people that need to be fed in this country, taking care of other issues. I mean, if you add up the billions and billions of dollars the United States has spent on the military in the last 30 years, I mean, can you imagine if all of that money went to fixing problems at home first? Like, the country would be in a much better shape.
We could have gone to...
like, education funding.
We could have gone to Mars and back and still had plenty of money left over for charity. We could have had a station on the moon right now. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about productive ways to spend your money that don't kill people? How about trying to find more natural resources? How about... it's like I said, there's the empathetic solution, then there's the cold logical solution. The empathetic solution says, why do they want to go to war with us? Yeah. Are they starving? Are they sick? Let's figure that out and see if they still want to fight. Why don't we focus on trying to help each other instead of trying to kill each other?
I think space mining is next. I know they've been talking about that for... NASA's been talking about that for a while. There's still a... it's still far away, but I think that's the next logical step.
Better ways to spend money than on the military. There's a million things you can spend it on, but when you think about it, in a lot of countries, especially the United States, whose military budget not just pales in comparison next to Canada, but to almost every major country in the world, you could stack them on top of each other. It doesn't come anywhere near the government military spending in the United States. That's scary. That's kind of worrisome for America when I think about it, because they've fit a lot on this list so far. I know we're very briefly into it, but let's move on to the next thing. Rampant sexism.
One sec. I'll have to get you to repeat that. It's a little dark in here.
Okay, it's fine. All right, so moving on to the next one here. Rampant sexism. The governments of fascist nations tend to be almost exclusively male-dominated. Under fascist regimes, traditional gender roles are made more rigid. Divorce, abortion, homosexuality are suppressed, and the state is represented as the ultimate guardian of the family institution. Russia, anybody? Uganda, perhaps? America, until a year ago? Canada. Actually, we were probably pretty good about that. We've always been pretty pro-gay. Thank you, John. No, not John A. McDonald. I'm thinking of the wrong person here. Thank you, Mr. Trudeau. Pierre, not bad. Not bad, Mr. Trudeau. But rampant sexism is a problem in almost every country in the world right now. It's very scary. It's nice when you see countries in Europe that are striving towards change, but I see Canada and I see America lagging behind in that department in a lot of ways. Canada has had a female prime minister for a couple of months. She was it was for show. It was just there. She was just there because they wanted, oh, look, we got a woman prime minister, that kind of thing. Like, or people look at the United States and say Barack Obama got elected. Oh, my God, there's a black man in White House.
Did you say Barack Obama?
Barack Obama. Barack Obama? Okay, Barack
it's
Obama.
Barack.
Barack Obama.
I wasn't sure if you were doing that.
So as a black man in the White House, I'm looking at it going, well, he's still rich and he's still a guy. That's not that much of a change. I think it's great that they want to allow races, everyone into the White House. You know, they want to allow abolish racism in the Senate and all these kinds of things, you know. They want to make it a less male-dominated political system. But there's so many forces that are fighting against that. You have the Christian movements. You have the Republicans. Well, they're kind of the same as Christians. There are some atheist Republicans, apparently, but I've never met one.
Well, if there are any atheists, and I would imagine there are both on both sides, left and right, they probably can't really say that they are just because it would create a lot of problems. Like, can you, like, I can see Barack Obama being atheist, but he could never say, because, I mean, he wouldn't have been elected, because there's just not with the way the system works there, and not with how many people are so devout Christian, especially in the South. Like, getting those votes matter, and like people that wouldn't elect someone that doesn't believe in their God is clearly still an issue.
Canada, not so much.
Which is so
it never
twisted.
Really comes up in our political debates of any time. Oh, are you a God fearing man, Mr. Trudeau? I don't remember it ever. I don't even know what religion he is.
I don't know if we'll ever get away from that fully, but we could talk for hours about that, but it bothers me that people don't sort of objectively look at what somebody is saying that they are going to do to improve the economy, to increase jobs, to lower the deficit, all those things that matter. But like, no, they choose to focus on this one thing. Do they believe in Jesus? And if they don't believe in Jesus, then they can't be trusted. It's so irrational.
It goes back to that traditionalism that it's talking about here. Rampant sexism, that's about as traditional as you can get. People who say they want a traditional world, they want a world where women aren't doing anything but, you know, acting as broodmares for the state and babysitters for their husbands. Which, again, that's nothing wrong if you want to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm just saying that boys should have that option, too. Why should we be only preparing half of the population for the potential of parenthood? Why not just treat it as an equal opportunity for everybody? Maybe some boys don't want to work in construction. Rampant sexism. Not so rampant here in Canada and all over the world, but a big fucking problem in the States. Holy shit, they're still having abortion discussions there. Still deciding, you got people who are being praised and held up on pedestals because they denied, and they committed a crime. Kim Davis committed a crime by denying that homosexual couple, all those homosexual couples, their marriage license, and she got, like, she's idolized for it. She got on the news. She met the Pope, for fuck's sakes. All right, moving on. Sexism pisses me off. Obsession with national security. Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government over the masses. Remember Stephen Harper's final plea there, trying to get everyone against Muslims, pit everyone against the Muslims. The niqab. Can't let anyone be sworn into the country while wearing a niqab. You know, all these things. Oh, Muslims are terrible. They're ass-backwards countries, and we can't let those Syrian refugees in here because they're Muslims and stuff like that. Oh, our national security is at risk. What about our homeland security? What if we start letting the Muslims in here? They're still building up mosques, and they might start, you know... Oh, it just goes on from there, you know. It's all craziness. This is used very effectively in the United States to keep people out. And in Europe. John Oliver had a whole special on that, about all these countries in Europe that were just wanting to keep Syrian refugees out. It's very apparent from we're only at seven on this, or six on this list here, and we are just starting to see so many parallels between reality.
Yeah, I you just can't watch, like, especially in the U.S., most of the big news outlets are... I can't even apply the word journalism to networks like CNN and Fox News and all that sort of stuff. But
number seven, controlled mass media. Good one there. I cannot believe... Oh, by the way, I don't believe he's actually looking at this list right now.
Hold on. Number six is controlled mass media.
Yeah, I know. I got the mistake here.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
That's okay. Well, I just figured I'd just fly through it. If anyone's reading along on this, they'd probably know that I was lying. I'm sorry, people. I won't do that again. I shouldn't try to put things past you. You know, yeah, you caught me. I got to pause for a second. You caught me in a fib, and that's not very nice. So, I'm sorry, planet Earth. I'm sorry, Internet. You know, but if you want to flame me, go right ahead. All right, controlled mass media. Sometimes, to media is directly controlled by the government. But in other cases, the media is indirectly controlled by the government. Regulation or sympathetic media spokespeople and executive censorship, especially in wartime, is very common. Fox fucking News! MSNBC. CNN. Oh my good sweet baby Jesus. CBC. You can just go on for hours. I mean, yeah. CBC is government controlled to some degree.
Yeah, but CBC's not bad, though.
I could go on about that, but it's completely off topic. We'll get to that another time. And or the fact that Fox News is basically a voice box. It's a squawk box for the Republican Party. And MSNBC is a squawk box for the far left media. And then you got CNN. You'd think it would really fit somewhere in the middle, though, but they're just... Do you have any opinions on that, Alex, CNN?
Yes, I do. I think they're garbage. They're fucking garbage.
Could you say it in more
words?
Oh, that
feels good.
It does feel good to say that, doesn't it? It's nice to have that explicit
sticker. I don't swear that often.
By the way, this is an explicit show, in case you're wondering. So yeah, don't buy or file any false flags. We have the explicit sticker. You can't make us go away for saying fuck. That's right, I can say it as many fucking times as I fucking want. Anyways, CNN. How does it suck, and why does it suck?
Well, the common thread that I see, and not just from CNN, but from other networks too, is that they don't do really good in-depth investigative journalism. It's a lot of conjecture and sensationalizing things without really diving deep into the subject matter. I'm struggling to even think of anyone other than maybe the New York Times that still does that, but the New York Times is primarily, they don't really do video all that much, so it's not like they're not really an equivalent of CNN.
Yeah, CNN's 24 hours a day. As if anything in the world is interesting that you would need 24-hour news.
Well, that's the thing. And I think, the sequel to Anchorman actually parodied that and actually made good fun of the whole thing with the invention of 24-hour news. It's really just to keep eyeballs on there, so they can make more money with advertising and stuff like that. It's most of it is garbage. Most of it is non-news.
I find you get a lot of false dichotomies in global and mass media in general. You know, say things like, oh, Syrian refugees, dangerous Muslims or psychotic terrorists. You know, it's always like something's bad and something's worse, or something's polarizing and something's just straight up bad. You know, it's always they're trying to push public opinion towards a certain thing. And that's the part that bothers me. And it bothers a lot of people about news, because what you're supposed to do is report the events and let the people make up their own mind. The news is no place for opinion. The news is a place for facts. Journalism
exactly.
is no place for opinion. It's a place for facts. You're just supposed to read.
Well, it depends. That depends. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with an opinion piece.
Opinion pieces are opinion pieces, but
exactly.
journalism.
But they're marked as opinion pieces. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah,
this
CNN
is
not so much marked as an opinion piece. They're supposed to be a news agency, and I just wish they would keep their opinions
to themselves. That's the thing that bugs me. If CNN very clearly stated that this isn't really journalism, this is just like, these are just our opinions and we're just going to argue, fine. If that's what you want to watch, say that's what you are, but don't say that you do journalism, because that's not journalism.
This is CNN news.
Like, I just saw recently, there was a thing on CNN about the shootings in California, right? And you know, one of the news anchors was like, it's not really it's not terrorism. He was like struggling to even classify that as a terrorist act. But it's like, it doesn't matter if you're white or Muslim. If you walk into a building and start shooting people, that's an act of terrorism. Now, is that on the same level of terrorism as 9/11? No. But it's still terrorism. How is it not?
Yeah, it's a tough one, but they want to say it's religiously motivated terrorism, like geopolitical motivated terrorism and stuff like that. And people, I find on the atheist side, especially on the internet, just want to point straight towards the religion angle and say that's all it fucking is. As soon as we get rid of those damn religions, we will all be a peaceful, happy, wonderful world and everything will be hunky-dory, because we know that there has never been any societies that have ever done any atrocities without a religion. Fuck off, guys. Come on. What the fuck are you even talking about?
I know we brought this up in past episodes, but just watch Equilibrium to see what happens when you eliminate human emotion and religion and all that sort of stuff.
They'll always find reasons to kill each other. Yeah, I agree. I don't think religion is necessarily the problem. I think it's ignorance. I've met.
Well, I don't quite agree with that. I think religion is a big part of the problem. Because, so, I mean, just look at look. I mean, there are people killing each other over religion and not just religion, but even simple strange arguments like who owns what land.
Yeah,
you know, it's so bizarre.
Well, I think it would just be probably get along a lot better if, like, instead of just trying to find out who the enemy is and kill them, just try to figure out why people are killing each other.
Yeah.
You know, try to solve that problem so much before we just start bombing more people. You can't, it's like trying to fix, I heard this great thing once, it's a, you try to solve a fist with a fist, all you ever get back is a fist.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that age-old argument of, you know, fighting violence with violence sometimes is not really the best thing to do.
Achilleitis, 500 BC. It is difficult to fight against anger, for a man will buy revenge with his soul.
So where are we at now?
All right. Well, we're actually moving right on to the religious angle right here. Religion and government are intertwined. Governments in fascist nations tend to use the most common religion in the nation as a tool to manipulate the public opinion. Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders when even the major tenets of the religions are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. Jesus would have been a capitalist. No, he fucking wouldn't. Jesus, goddamn Christ. Like, I hear this from politicians in the United States all the time. Oh, well, God invented capitalism. Oh, yeah, well, America is a Christian nation. And all that fluff. I'm sorry. No, it was a religious nation, but it wasn't a Christian nation. You had to kill a lot of people before it became a Christian nation. And you'd have to kill a lot of people now to make it a straight-up Christian nation. Unless you're saying that the majority of the religion absorbs the minority populations just because. No. Multiculturalism. It's been that way for a long time. And by the way, if there's any American people out there, I just thought I'd let you know, in God we trust in the money that was put there in 1952. It has not always been there. And it did not say, in Yahweh we trust. It says, in God we trust. That's ambiguous. Doesn't say, in Jesus Christ we trust. But if you want to talk about a country that rallies behind a single religion more than anyone else, you got to look at the States. Again, religious problems are an issue everywhere, but in the States, I've never seen anyone more, any country more proud of the fact that they're a Christian traditionalist nation, except for maybe Russia. And that's a new thing. Any thoughts on that there, Alex?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I can't really add anything of value to that.
All right, cool. Moving on. All right. Okay, number 9, corporate power is protected. The industrial and business aristocracy of a fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating a mutually beneficial business-government relationship and power elite. Wow, that is a mouthful to say sometimes. But, okay, well, you know, this actually fits in perfectly. I forgot about this one. Donald Trump, corporate leader, now a politician. My goodness. Or Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush, brother of George Bush, was the man who owns the patent on the voting machines that actually got his brother or his cousin elected into power.
You know, one thing I find interesting, and I know there have been some investigations into this, but I don't think they've... The problem hasn't really been solved, but have you ever read into like how these people that run for office get funded, and how there's a lot? It seems to be a lot of scandals about like where they're actually getting their money to fund these campaigns and stuff like that. Like something it fundamentally bothers me that corporations can give like millions of dollars to an individual because they want to back them for whatever reason because that person believes in, you know, that person is kind of going to be like a conduit for them in office, especially for like these big corporations that do nefarious things like, I'll throw out an example, like tobacco companies or pharmaceutical companies. That kind of stuff is really, really like a slippery slope.
It's hard for a politician to have a non-biased opinion or work in the country's best interest when they're in the pocket of big corporations like tobacco companies, right. Pharmaceutical companies, well, or oil companies.
That's the thing that I just wish, like, even individual, everyday people would spend the time to try to at least do some research about who they're voting for and, you know, actually dig into, like, where are they getting their money?
I'll quote my most favorite philosopher here, Carlin. Evolution is slow. Smallpox is fast. It'll take time, man. People are discussing. We're at the age of information right now. People are voting. People are learning. People are thinking. I mean, if we can combat all the misinformation out there, maybe we have a chance.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the United States, but I know in Canada, at least, the voter turnout this time was for the federal election was way better than it was.
And I'm hoping now. I hope that's not an.
I sincerely hope that's not an anomaly. I hope that that is a trend. And like you were saying about us being in the information age now, especially we're I think at a very interesting turning point where, incredibly fast broadband is ubiquitous. Everyone has a smartphone, almost everyone now. So I think 10 to 20 years out, I would hope that we're going to have an even greater voter turnout and an even greater society of people that that will spend the time to really do research into where these politicians are getting their money. And I just hope people are going to be more inquisitive in the future.
It frightens me that,
and maybe, like, that means that we have to wait for a new generation of people and wait for the old ones to die out that are stuck to their ways. I don't know.
It seems shameful to me that corporations can't put their actual names on the people that they're backing, but their lobbies that they pay their money to can back a candidate. Like, there's all these loopholes and whatnot. Yeah. Like, personally, I think no corporation should be allowed.
The United States needs to fix that. Like, there's no question that they need to pass some kind of law that transparency is a must.
Like, the Teamsters Union should not be allowed to affect political opinion. The church should not be allowed to affect political opinion.
The church has no place in that.
Actually, let me rephrase that. I'd be more than happy to let them pour their money into their candidates if they're willing to give up their tax-exempt status. That's the only way I would be okay with it.
You think that's going to happen? I don't think
so. I think if they made a law that said, okay, fine, you guys want to get involved in politics? Well, then you have to get out of the bed of the government.
Well, sure. If they pass a law, they'll have to comply if they want to do that, but they'll go kicking and screaming.
That would be a great law to pass. I mean, that's something that Trudeau could do like that.
Yeah.
He could do it if he wanted to. But I think we're getting off topic again.
Sure.
Corporations and getting involved in politics is just kind of scary in general. And if there's any loopholes in this day and age that they can allow them to do that, they need to be closed.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be allowed.
And just on the topic of corporations, staying on that, this is somewhat of an aside too, but corporations that, I don't know how many people actually really realize that when certain studies are published about certain medications or foods, for example, that are deemed safe, if you actually follow the trail of where the study was done, if you see that the corporation that produces that product helped fund that study, stay clear away. Do not. It's like, you better take that study with a grain of salt. In fact, I flat out would not even trust it.
I'm immediately skeptical of stuff like that. Like, if a politician is telling you that smoking's not so bad, we're going to have to go way back for this one, but like back in the days, you'd say, oh, well, smoking isn't that bad for people, and they have all these doctors on the side of the tobacco company saying, oh, well, some people prefer smaller babies. Oh, well, you know, well, what about all the people who die of lung cancer that don't smoke? Where are those people and that kind of stuff? It's like, you know, they can find all these great ways to rationalize why it's okay to smoke or why it's okay to mine for oil or da-da-da-da-da. Anything you want, really. Any corporate interest they have, they can get someone to spin it, because that's what people are good. People are great at rationalizing, and if they can get that seed of doubt in your head, doesn't matter if they've convinced you, because they've made you doubt it. And people are quick to believe that. Like, I have this vaporizer in my hand right now that I've been puffing on for the course of this show. Most of the studies that have been done about the dangers of vaping have been funded by tobacco companies. Now, I have read some studies by some non-biased sources that are kind of interesting. Yeah, of course, it's never going to be good for you. But I'm more likely to listen to the unbiased source that hasn't been tainted by cash flow. Like, I don't believe that I don't believe that organic produce is better than genetically modified, but I still would take a study produced by Monsanto with a grain of salt. That doesn't mean I would believe the organic farming, but I still would be skeptical of where that particular study came from. And I think more people should be skeptical like that. I think that's a big problem, is not enough people think, is he serving his interests or ours? Or is she serving her interests or ours? You know, it can go in any direction.
Yeah.
That's frightening that corporations can have that much control and people just don't seem to care.
I don't know if it's that they don't care. I think it's that it's just will. It's
lack of
informed. It's ignorance. They're not informed.
Or take this, for instance. When voter turnout in Canada is terrible, and in the States, Republican and conservative parties tend to get elected. When voter turnout is up, liberal candidates and people who are working towards more human rights type issues and more things that are based in reality and for the good of the country will get elected in a higher voter turnout.
Okay, hold on. Why do you think that is?
It's an actual fact. You can actually look this one up. And if anyone's out there watching, go ahead and Google this one. It's an interesting thing. When more people are informed about what's going on in the country, they will vote for the country's best interest. When less people are voting, the traditionalist voters will go out and they will vote for the party that serves their traditional interests because they're the ones who continuously vote. But when you can get more people involved, like take the HST. Remember when the HST was getting put into British Columbia? It's the harmonized sales tax. They were trying to merge their taxes together. And people got so frustrated that it actually forced them to go to their computers and look up what the HST was. And after that, it was just a matter of getting people to go around and collect signatures because people, oh yeah, I know what that is. I don't want that. 800,000 signatures later, Premier Gordon Campbell still tried to put it through and he ended up getting ousted because people were informed and people decided to vote. And that's what scares politicians, I think. If you can get people voting, they know they're not going to be able to protect their interests.
Right, right.
That's why people like Justin Trudeau can get elected, even when it looks very unlikely after three consecutive elections. The Liberals lose. All right, moving on. Labor power is suppressed, number 10. Because the organ is... take two. Number 10. Labor power is suppressed. Because the organizing power of labor is the only real threat to a fascist government, labor unions are either eliminated entirely or severely oppressed. I'm reminded of a quote from an American politician who was sitting back and saying, well, I don't understand. They make $30 an hour. They have great benefits. They have these many vacation days off in a year. Why do they need a union? As the great John Stewart once put it, to keep you from taking that shit away from them. That's what a union, but the last thing they want, a fascist government or any government really, is want people united for anything, especially fair pay or equal rights. That's a fact. And have you ever seen a more, like a political party that is more untrustworthy of unions and groups of people than the conservative government or the Republican Party of the United States?
No.
They don't like unions. They don't like minimum wages. They don't like work safe. They think that it should be every man's for himself because that's how God intended it. Terrifying. It scares me. Like, I see this today. Like, for instance, another local thing here. In British Columbia, we have this thing called temporary workers. It's a problem here. In British Columbia, there are something like 50,000 temporary workers. There is more people in that labor industry than almost anyone else in the construction industry. They take up the largest proportion of low-level jobs. And guess what? They have no benefits. They have low pay. And they have no union. I've thought for a while now, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone unionized the temp workers and kept them safe? But that would require people to care. And plus, they wouldn't be very temporary if they had something like that now, would they? But it's an issue, and that's something that our government has fought against. They do not want people's rights protected because that slows down the machine. Or so they think. But the fact of the matter is, in a society where people are well taken care of, are healthy, are not overstressed or not overworked, those countries are more productive. They seem to think that if you give people a helping hand, they'll become lazy. I saw a great drawing once that expressed this point very eloquently. It shows three people sitting in front of a fence. One person's tall, one person's medium-sized, one person's very short. and it says the Republican view of equality, there's a box under each person's feet. The person who's shorter can see a little bit higher. The person who's medium can now see as high as the tall person. And the tall person is now taller than everybody, even larger. That's what they think equality looks like. Now, what equality actually looks like is two boxes stacking up the smaller person, one box stacking up the medium-sized person, and the largest person gets no boxes because they don't need any help. Now it's equal. It's a misconception people have that equality means that everybody gets the same thing. No, it means we'll try to push everyone towards the highest quality of life. If you're already at a high quality of life, why the hell do you need extra? Doesn't make much sense. Scary. Very scary and very real. Ah, this is one of my favorites. And it's very, very common among Fox News and a lot of people on YouTube these days. Disdain and disgust for intellectuals and the arts. Fascist nations tend to promote and tolerate open hostility to higher education and academia. It is not uncommon for professors and other academics to be censored or even arrested. Free expression in the arts and letters is openly attacked.
Well, it goes back to that whole thing, knowledge is power, right?
Goes back to the Socratic method there, Socrates. He was poisoned. Well, he was also a pedophile, but that's a different thing. But yeah, he was poisoned for corruption of the young. And Martin Luther King, shot dead because he had a dream. Malcolm X, murdered in public for trying to get people to stop fighting with each other. Jesus Christ, if you want to go down that road there, Christians, I'll throw you a bone. There's a guy who died for what he believed in. Or just in the southern red states, the United States, there was this one politician who is high up there, and he screamed during a meeting that someone had to stand up to these experts. Someone had to stand up to these evolutionary biology experts because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Someone has to stand up to them. Somebody has to stand up to intellectuals? Why? To keep your children from learning? Or, I don't understand evolution, and I want to keep my children from understanding it too. That's a good one. That is, look at Fox News. They do not think that anyone who, unless you graduated from the Bob Jones University, you don't have any street cred on those shows. I mean, these people would have Pat Robertson on there to back them up if he was credible enough. Like, these are the people that have Kirk Cameron on their show and Ray Comfort. And this is Bill fucking O'Reilly's network. I mean, come on. You ever met a person who has more disdain for intellectuals than Bill O'Reilly? Or Glenn Beck? Glenn fucking Beck? Ugh. And, you know, I'm gonna attack an atheist while I'm at it, dude. Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller seems to think that institutions of higher learning are dumbing down the world.
I've never heard that viewpoint from him.
It's watch his show Bullshit. He did a whole special on universities and colleges and how they're bullshit and a waste of time. And he had saying things in the nature of, oh, the stupidity of that statement could only come from higher education and things like that. Now, that's not to say that all institutions of higher education are bad in his opinion, of course. I don't want to put words in the man's mouth, but he's a libertarian. So right off the bat, he has some disdain for any institution of any kind. That might just be a biased opinion on his part. Yeah, free expression. My goodness. What if you were to walk through New York right now, a white guy with a sign that says Islam is a religion of peace? What do you think would happen to you? Like a peaceful protest these days. Black Lives Matter protested at Donald Trump's rally. There has been several beatings by these groups of people attacking Black Lives Matter protesters.
Yeah, a lot of that by the police.
It's like attacking a peace activist. It's like, what is so offensive about that message that you feel the need to hurt that person?
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, there is a lot wrong with the police force in general in certain states, obviously, like that the thing that happened in Ferguson and whatnot. But, you know, there are laws against protest. Like, you do have the right to protest, but there are laws against, there are limits to what you can do. You can't just go, I mean, I think it goes without saying, but yeah, if you're going to go out there just to set cars on fire, obviously that's, you have to, protests have to be peaceful, right? There are limits that you have, like, you know, obviously encroaching on private property. I mean, there's tons of things that people do that they should not be doing when they protest, like, really give a bad name to protesting in general.
Absolutely. But the obsession with crime and punishment in regards to that, how quickly do people want to just, like forgo all reason when, right. Like, say someone is accused of pedophilia. It's a horrible crime. Yeah. I think it should be punished horribly. Absolutely. Those people should be tried to the full extent of the law, but how many people want to bring back the death penalty?
Mm-hmm.
How many people want to reopen that can of worms? Or
yeah, but what about rehabilitation, though? Do you not believe that those people, or do you think that they should get some kind of professional help? Do you think our resources as a society should be going to helping those people, or do you think we should just be putting them in jail or even worse, executing those people?
Well, I'm of the school that believes that future generations will judge us by how we choose to treat our worst.
Because I feel like fundamentally that's one thing that I believe that should be researched at a scientific level. Like, think about it, that there are so many, like, just think about how many people that are pedophiles that abuse children that we don't know about that, and perhaps those people never actually act on it, but they have those urges. The fact that as a society, as human beings, the fact that we have so many of those people speaks to something like that needs to be studied. Like, why do we have these urges?
I don't think,
how do we help these people? How do we fix the problem? Can it even be fixed?
I don't know, but I'm not willing to exclude the possibility, like so many people are. Let's just kill them. Let's just lock them up for life. Okay, we may have to lock them up for life.
Because you can execute anyone.
It won't
you can
make
execute
it go away.
Murderers. You can execute. Child abusers. But we're always going. There are always going to be more of those people. There'll be a new generation of those people.
Yeah.
So it's like I really believe in researching those problems and finding out, like, how do we fix this problem? Can it be fixed?
I firmly believe rehabilitation, it's always a good thing. But am I so naive that I think that we could maybe educate someone out of being a pedophile? No, well, probably not. But does that mean we shouldn't keep studying? We shouldn't keep trying? We shouldn't keep attempting? Like, what's the person going to jail for? Is it just to punish them? Is it for you or is it for them? Are we trying to make productive members of society, or are we trying to train people how to be criminals? Because so far, prison just seems to train people how to be better criminals and how to hate more and how to be more angry and how to be more hateful and how to be more tribalistic.
Maybe that's another episode altogether, but I fundamentally, I think the whole notion of throwing somebody basically in a box for the rest of their life, first of all, it's everybody, I think, knows that the prison system is a massive drain.
What do we do?
On our resources, just in terms of staffing, in terms of finances that are required, it's extremely inefficient, and that's I definitely don't believe that is how we should operate going forward. I think that spending more resources, I'd be happy to have my tax dollars go toward rehabilitation, reintegration into society. How do we set these people up for success?
Or how many people are in jail right now who actually should be in a mental care facility?
Absolutely.
Finding out why they're so violent. What happens? Like, what happens if we take some of these criminals and we put them in full body scans and we find out, oh goodness, well, that person has a tremendous amount of pressure on their amygdala. No wonder they're so fucking pissed off and angry all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, what happens if we can fix these people? Well, we're not going to do that just by sticking them in a box, as you so eloquently put it. No one reacts that well. Have you ever put a cat in a cage? You put any animal in a cage, it's going to go crazy and piss itself.
Yeah.
The famous rat park experiment there, that was a great example of that. They were testing rats to see how they reacted to heroin and heroin dependency, and they found that every rat that was kept in a cage left alone with the heroin would die.
Surprise, surprise.
But then they realized, well, wait a minute, maybe the test is affecting the results. So they put it in a happy environment. And lo and behold, the rats didn't have much need for the heroin when they had a happy life. It turned out to be a better study on depression and social dynamics than drugs.
That's the thing. I mean, statistically, the people that are committing crimes are uneducated, grow up in poor neighborhoods, have terrible home lives. What if you took those exact people and gave them a better life, like you said?
And racist.
Chances are they would have... Now, it's not guaranteed,
yeah,
but chances are that they are... It is more probable that they would have a modicum of success.
Why not try?
What, at least...
Should be worth at least a bit of effort to try to help somebody.
Exactly. Especially at a young age. I mean, like, it's so crucial. Those early development years of a child's life are so important. And if they're just exposed to poverty and abuse, I mean, they're... The chances of them turning out well, pretty slim.
70% of the prison population in Canada is Aboriginal, and that's not because Aboriginal people are criminals. Also, as far as jail sentences goes, race can play a big role in this because, yes, the RCMP is racist. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just true.
Well, yes, I wouldn't. I don't agree with making a blanket statement like that. Sure, bad seeds in any organization.
Let me rephrase that. There is a racism problem in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
I would agree with
there
that.
There is a racism problem in the American prison system of the U.S. just as much as the Canadian prison system.
Sure.
There is an issue going on when you could look at it and say 80% of the people incarcerated are black. That can't just be because they're all criminals.
No.
It has to be some part due to the people who are arresting them, and maybe for the reasons they arrest
that,
them.
Doesn't that kind of boil your blood when you hear people make the excuse that, well, it's just because black people are inherently criminal, or it's like, or Aboriginal people are inherently criminal, they're all shiftless, lazy, like, bastards, which is completely untrue.
I was in a talk with someone online, and they said that he's like, well, what's your problem then? It's just these Aboriginal people are just committing fucking crimes. Well, they need to stop committing fucking crimes. Like, what the fuck are you even talking about, moron? Like, of course, you think they don't know that they're supposed to... there's so many questions and so many irritable things in that statement. You know, there's so much racism encoded in that statement and so much hatred and so much just lack of humanity. It's just not seeing them as people and not seeing it as an issue and not saying, well... They just think, like, well, I've never experienced racism, so racism must not be real. Yeah, it's my southern voice. Whenever I'm doing a dumb character, there's a southern voice. Southern boy. All right, moving on, because we keep getting distracted here. Ah, here we go. Rampant cronyism and corruption. Fascist regimes almost always are governed by groups of friends and associates who appoint each other to government positions and use government power and authority to protect their friends from accountability. It is not uncommon in fascist regimes for national resources and even treasures to be appropriated or outright stolen by government leaders. Wow. That is a serious problem. It's true, though. I mean, like, a lot of friends of politicians generally become quite powerful. Families of politicians, like the Kennedys, they are the kings of America. They are American royalty, as close as you can get. Family of political people. And they were protected. Okay, how many of the Kennedys have murdered people and gotten away with it? Okay, maybe just one, but still. The one that we know of. Or Ronald Reagan and Oliver North. They both committed high treason against the United States, but somehow managed to get off scot-free. And now, for some reason, Oliver North is a... Course,
power plus celebrity plus money gives you a hell of a lot of freedom and a hell of a lot of reasons why you should be pardoned for whatever sins you have.
Well, rich people are different from us, aren't they, Alex?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, they're definitely more
special.
They're
above us. I mean, obviously, I'm scum.
More educated.
I'm like the gum on the heel of the shoe.
I'm a surf. Yeah, I'm a common man. You know, I like things like, you know, I don't know what a surf eats. Gruel. You know, gruel is very tasty. Why do I need my own room? I wouldn't even know what to do with money and power if I had it right out. I mean, come on. We're common people. Okay. Fraudulent elections. Yes, Mr. Bush, we're looking at you. Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. Other times elections are manipulated to smear campaigns against or even assassination of opposition candidates. use of legislation to control voting numbers or political district boundaries, manipulation of the media. Fascist nations are also typically use their judiciaries to manipulate or control elections. In Canada, Prime Minister Stephen Harper was doing his best to keep young people from learning how to vote. He wanted to cancel all programs that would educate youths on the importance of voting and things like that.
And not to mention the fact that, you know, just to single him out specifically, but
just
the fact that he would never let the media just ask any kind of free-form questions that they have to, he had to vet all the questions. It's like, and they had to meet his approval before he would even hold like a press conference. It's like, what?
What are you afraid of,
man? This is not
man?
What democracy is. Like, you need to be able to back your own statements. And if somebody comes at you with questions, you better be prepared to answer them. If you can't answer them,
that's not democracy. That's not even communism. Okay. Now, there's something else I wanted to discuss here because we were talking about terrorism and, things of that nature. Well, globalresearchhere.ca has a very fascinating article that I imagine some of you racist bigots out there, it will make you very angry, but I don't think you're listening to this show. Why would you? Are you ready for something rather interesting and somewhat unknown? People, when they think of terrorism or terrorists, they have this image of a you know, that kind of stuff, you know, Allah Akbar and all these traditionally Islamic type qualities, you know, beards.
Well, I mean, and Hollywood doesn't help in this way because they you know, the stereotypical terrorist, you know, plot devices in so many movies. I mean, less so maybe now, but in the 80s, I mean, I can't tell you how many Chuck Norris movies I've seen where it was always like him, the white guy, like saving America from terrorist bombers.
And he did it all in a tank top. Know?
I mean, just watch the Delta Force movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those movies pretty much, and talking about excessive patriotism, those are like just basically bordering on jingoism. Like it's so in your face, America waving the flag, you know,
rock
going
flag
to save
and
the,
eagle, right?
Going
Alex?
To save the day,
rock flag and eagle. All right, so here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the shocking part of the article right here. Non-Muslims, that is right, non-Muslims carried out more than 90% of all terrorist attacks on American soil. Terrorism is a real threat, but the threat to the U.S. from Muslim terrorists has been extremely exaggerated. An FBI report shows that only a small percentage of terrorist attacks carried out on U.S. soil between 1980 and 2005 were perpetrated by Muslims. Princeton University's Loon Watch compiled the following chart from the FBI's data. 42% were Latino American, 5% were communists, 7% Jewish extremists, extremist left-wing groups, 24%, Islamic extremists, 6%, and other, 16%. I'm not sure what other is. I can only assume they're atheists, agnostics, or Scientologists. According to the data, there are more Jewish acts of terrorism within the United States than Islamic. These radical Jews committed acts of terrorism in the name of their religion. They were not terrorists who happened to be Jews. Rather, they were extremist Jews who committed acts of terrorism based on their religious positions, just like Al-Qaeda and company. Of the more than 300 American deaths from political violence and mass shootings since 9/11, only 33 have come out at the hands of Muslim Americans. Since 9/11... Charles Kurzman, professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, writing for Triangle Center on Terrorism and National Security, and his team of tallies 33 Americans have died as a result of terrorism launched by their Muslim neighbors. During that period, 180,000 Americans were murdered for reasons unrelated to terrorism in just the past year. The mass shootings that have captivated America's attention killed 66 Americans, twice as many fatalities as from Muslim American terrorisms in all 11 years since 9/11. Where are the martyrs? Where are the Islamic terrorists that the news media makes us believe are real? If there's 1.57 billion Muslims in the world, shouldn't we be seeing these acts of Islamic terrorism on a mass scale? Why is it that the majority of terrorist attacks in this last year on American soil have been white people? Something strange here, people. Something stinks, and it's not just Donald Trump's hair. I just don't understand where this mentality comes from. I don't know why you can be faced with the reality, see it as plain as day, and people, a lot of atheists on the YouTubes there, would say, no, I knows it's Islam. I knows it because I seen's it. I know it because Sam Harris tells me it's true. I know because Richard Dawkins tells me it's true. I know because Christopher Hitchens used to tell me it's true. I know it because the Armored Skeptic tells me it's true, because Philip Mason tells me it's true, because all these internet celebrities, the amazing atheist tells me it's true, and all these other people online that are preaching their hatred about Islam, and it's unfounded. But the moment you try to remind them that they're just being racist, they'll look at you and they'll say, Islam isn't a race, as if they can pretend in their heads that it's all religiously motivated, that they're only mad because Islam is a religion of hate. Well, I've got news for you, people. Christianity could just as easily be called a religion of hate. Some of you Christians out there would say, well, no, it's a new covenant. We don't need to follow the laws of the Old Testament. Well, that's only true if you ignore the fact that Jesus said all will be judged by the laws of the Old Testament, and that was in the new covenant. There is nothing protecting modern Christianity from the atrocities of the Old Testament, just like there is nothing protecting modern Muslims and peaceful Muslims from the atrocities of the Islamic texts. There's no difference. Main difference is that there's more Muslims than Christians, and more Christians are causing more death. That's a problem. And it needs to be brought up. People, you need to talk about this. You need to call your news agencies and tell them, no, stop acting like the Muslims are burning everybody. Why is it Saudi Arabia is awful for beheading 17 people, but Ted Cruz can fucking smile about his state executing more condemned people than any other state in U.S. history? We got some problems here, people, but I think we can work through it. I think part of it is going to be waking up and realizing that you can't just blame everything on the Muslims. They're a scapegoat. I get it. You're upset. We all upset. We're all scared. And it's very easy to make bad decisions when you're scared. But do not take it out on your neighbor. Do not take it out on people that don't deserve it. Or what the hell? Don't listen to me. What do I know? I'm just a stupid asshole with a microphone. But you know something? I'm also not being racist.
I think that everything starts with, I think, understanding, and we can make small steps like, if you happen to meet a stranger who is Muslim, don't be afraid to talk to them. Just treat them like a normal human being. It all starts with something as simple as saying hello to somebody. And you'd be surprised about, like, how similar we all are in general, regardless of ethnicity, of background, where we're coming from, what color we are. It'll surprise you. So just I think you should keep that in mind. Just start with hello next time.
So we all starve the same way. We all get thirsty the same way. We all love the same way. We all probably love our children the same way. There's a lot of things we have in common that don't separate us. Our religions and our cultures might be different, but we all have to share the land here. We all have to live here. We all are stuck on this planet together, so we have to at least make our kids think that we're trying to get along. At least put up the facade. Maybe we can all pretend. Maybe it'll work if we do that. Who knows?
Indeed. Well, on that note, I think that's a good spot to end for this week, and I think that it'll certainly give me some things to think about, which I appreciate you doing, and hopefully to listeners out there, listening to the show, hopefully you'll join us next week, and I don't know if the show really isn't, I don't think, designed to change anyone's perspectives, but I think it's at least to make you think
Maybe get the conversation started, or at least get people thinking about it. And at least, if anything, getting these raging thoughts off our minds so we don't have to keep them inside our own heads.
That's a great point.
Anyways, folks, it's been a blast. If you enjoyed the show, why not download us on iTunes? And if you enjoyed it to the point that you'd like to hear more of us, why not toss us a donation and help this little project along? That's the last bit of pandering I'll do. It's been a lovely night. I love you all very much. Thank you very much, planet Earth, Canada, United States, any country in the world. I love you just the same. Alex, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, just a quick note on that. I appreciate you bringing up the donation and iTunes stuff. So please do take a moment to leave us a rating in iTunes. It's very little effort to do so, but it helps us immensely. And it actually helps new listeners find our show. As far as donations, you can go to hologramradio.org. You'll find a link to the donation page there. And also the sponsors link. One of the great things about the show is it is completely free and we are listener supported. So click on one of those links that we've set up for you there for Amazon UK, US and Canada. And it's the same great shopping experience that you know and love with Amazon, but we get a commission on any sale. So please do click on one of those links. It would be very much appreciated. You can follow us on Twitter at Hologram Radio and stay up to date on all of the great shows that we have on our network. I encourage you to take a listen, see what's there. You'll probably find something that you're interested in, and we're working on a bunch of new shows as well. So hopefully we'll have a bit more variety in the coming months as well. So that's it for me. Until next week.
Thank you very much. It's been great.